grass areas. So as a referee, I often wore a mask that was different from everybody else's mask. I think this one was white, everybody else's was black. I also wore a vest, kind of like a traffic vest, so it was bright yellow, it had shiny to it. It was clearly a vest that you would not want to wear in the woods when people are trying to hunt you down, okay? Also, I often walked around with my hands like this, just to show all the competitors that I did not have a paintball gun in my hand. I was not a threat to them. On this particular day, I was walking and I was going through a high grass area, and all of a sudden, a junior high boy pops out of the grass and lights me up, just starts shooting me. And I'm like, whoa, 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 stop, stop, stop. And by the time he stops, I have paint all over my body like I'm some kind of piece of modern art. It was just a horrible scene. And it hurt so bad. And I talked to the kid, dude, what are you doing? I'm the referee. He says, oh, I'm sorry. I was just so excited to see somebody that I had to shoot. I'm like, well, can't you see that you're not supposed to shoot me? He said, no, I don't have my glasses on. At that point, I told him, well, you get off the field, walk up the hill, get your glasses, and then you can play again. Don't have your glasses on. What kind of game is this? Of course, you're not going to see anybody in front of you. The kid thought he would be able to see, but in reality, for the purposes of the game, he was totally blind. In our gospel today, we have a man who is blind and knows he cannot see. And we also have Pharisees who can see, yet Jesus will condemn them as being blind. Just a quick recap of the story. Jesus finds a man who is born blind and he heals him. And this is not a thing that commonly occurred. In fact, the man will later say, never in the history of the world has this ever happened, where a man born blind was miraculously given his sight back. And it's such a rare and odd occurrence that nobody believes what's going on. The man has sight all of a sudden, but his neighbors don't even believe that it's him. Like, well, surely this isn't the guy that's been begging for all these years, because that guy can't see. He was born blind. He can't see. And the man says to his neighbors, no, I am the man. I'm the guy. I'm the guy who was born blind. I can see again. The neighbors can't get over this fact. And so they take him to the authorities. He takes them to the religious authorities of the day, the Pharisees. And surely the Pharisees can sort this out. And the Pharisees begin to question the man. Are you the man who was born blind? And yes, I am. Well, what happened? Well, a guy came and he spat in some mud and he rubbed it together and he put it on my eyes and he told me to wash, and I did this, and now I can see. And the Pharisees are divided about this. That this doesn't happen. A person who breaks the Sabbath, which to break the Sabbath meant working, and working in this case meant healing and making mud, a person who would break the Sabbath can't possibly do a miraculous thing. God does not work that way. And other people there are thinking, well, he's a sinner. God doesn't work through sinners to heal blind men, especially blind men born at birth. Things don't happen this way. The Pharisees can't figure it out. And other people in the town, the Jewish leaders, also can't figure this out. They want to get to the bottom of the story, so they go and they interrogate the man's parents. They want to make sure that this guy actually was born blind. And so they talk to his parents. Is this your son? Was he born blind? And they say, yeah, this is our son. He was born blind. I don't know what happened. But this son of ours, he's of age, ask him. He'll tell you what happened. They can't get to the bottom of the story. And so the Pharisees ask the man again. They question him a second time. Give glory to God. Basically, they're making him swear an oath to the Lord that this actually has happened, that God has done something miraculous. They can't get to the bottom of the story. And finally, the Pharisees confess that something's wrong here. Jesus, we don't know where this man comes from, but they're unwilling to confess that God has sent him. And the bottom line of the story is that a man who knows he cannot see has sight. And those who claim to be able to see turn out to be blind. Those who claim to be able to see cannot see Jesus. And they are the ones who are truly blind. The story itself is easy enough to follow. The difficulty in a text like this is trying to figure out where we fit in. Where do we belong in this passage? And I think in this passage we want to ask ourselves, who are we like? Are we like the Pharisee, or are we like the blind man? When I was thinking about this passage, I was trying to think of a way to illustrate what this looks like, as I often do, I turn towards movies, and I turn towards the movies that I like, that I really appreciate. And don't worry, it's not Star Wars, it's not The Lord of the Rings, it's not Harry Potter. You're okay on that regard today. Today I look towards the movie and the musical Les Mis. In this musical, there are two characters that are always battling each other. One is Jean Valjean. And Jean Valjean, at the beginning of the story, is a criminal. He's doing hard time. He's doing hard labor in a prison camp, breaking up rocks, a gravel quarry. He's bringing in a ship. He's doing a lot of hard work. And he's been in prison for almost 20 years doing labor. He knows who he is. He knows that he's a criminal. And even when he is released on parole, he knows that he is not part of society. That he's a man that people are always going to be condemning. He knows that he's a sinner. And the person he's in conflict with throughout the story is an inspector, Inspector Javert. Javert is like the Pharisee. He knows the law. He loves the law. He lives by it. There is no room in his worldview for someone like Valjean. A person like him can never change. They always will be a criminal. Their heart is always evil. But Jean Valjean has an encounter with a priest. And the priest shows him something that he's never had before. He shows him grace. He shows him forgiveness. And from that point on, Jean Valjean is a changed man. He's no longer a hardened criminal. He's a compassionate person who sees to the needs of others, especially the needs of a young orphan girl. He has a changed heart. But throughout the course of the story, throughout years, Inspector Javert is in pursuit of Valjean. And even after Valjean has changed and has done amazing things, Javert cannot let it go. And at one point, Javert is captured by some some young men that are in a rebellion, and they have him held hostage. And Valjean even goes and he releases Javert. He does the person who has been doing evil to him all his life, he releases him and shows him this kindness. And in Javert's worldview, in his mind, there is no place where this man can do these good things. He's like the Pharisee. He is absolutely blind to what Jesus can do for a person in this world. And so we ask ourselves, who are we like? Are we like the blind man, the person whom Jesus has affected, who Jesus has grabbed a hold of, whose heart he has softened and made new, who is a person who at the end of our story can look at Jesus with eyes of faith and say, this is the Messiah? Or are we like the Pharisees? A person who thinks they know who the Lord is, who lives their life by the straight and narrow, who believes that they have some kind of faith in the Lord, but will look at another person and say, there's no way that God could ever do anything for that person. There's no way that the Lord Jesus could ever change their heart. That person will always be what they are. That person always will be a criminal. In our true hearts, are we cold-hearted? Do we pridefully look to ourselves as maybe even more deserving of grace than others? The question is, are we blind and do we know it? Or are we blind and ignorant to that fact? Like the children this morning, I would hope that all of us would have a faith in Christ. That the Lord has claimed us in baptism and throughout our lives has been molding and working on our hearts, making us to be more like Him, grabbing hold of us, causing us to love the Lord more and more with each and every passing day. To come to a realization that God has, in fact, done something for me. That just as the Lord Jesus has caused the blind man born blind from birth to be able to see, that Jesus has, in fact, done the same for me. Because in reality, each of us are born blind, stuck in our sin. But in baptism, in the preaching of the Word, in the reception of God's sacraments for you, for the forgiveness of sin, God gives you eyes to see. And on this day and each day, we pray and we ask that the Lord would continue to give eyes that see. That we would not become hard and cold-hearted as the Pharisees are, thinking we have it all right, but in truth, being cruel and being blind to see who the true Lord really is. Our Lord has died for you. Our Lord has gone to the cross for you and has been raised to new life for you, that you might have life in His name. There is no greater thing that could ever have been done for you. Receive that and pray for those around us that they might receive it as well. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the eyes that you've given us, eyes to see in faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has changed us, who has molded us, who has given us new and real hearts, hearts of flesh, not hearts of stone. Help us, O Lord, to live in humility, to know the great act you have done for us, and to not stand in the way when you would do that act for others. Help us, O Lord, to receive you in faith. We pray this in your name. Amen.